Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
Hi, this is David Heimer, and you're listening to Profiles in Prosperity. I'm delighted to talk with David Hefner today. David Hefner is the Director of Community Outreach for Wind Supply in Indianapolis. I cannot imagine a person better qualified or better suited for that job. David is incredibly knowledgeable about our industry. He has practical experience in our industry. He loves teaching, and he has a strong orientation to serving others. I love seeing his posts on LinkedIn and Facebook about all the things he's doing at Wind Supply to help the contracting community and the community at large in Indianapolis. I've been racking my brain trying to remember when and how I first became aware of David. I think it was from his posts on Service Roundtable, where he would write some of his innovations in his business, or when he would answer questions other contractors had. Regardless, we were all impressed with David. He ran a one-man plumbing company, but his ideas were respected and appreciated by people that were running $10 million companies. He's that good. So David Hefner, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you, David. I'm honored you would consider me to be on your podcast. I'm happy to share whatever information I can, but my pleasure to be here today.
I know you went into the Marine Corps when you were pretty young. How did you get from the Marine Corps into plumbing?
I was 19 when I joined the Marine Corps in 1980, and I was in for 4 years, you know, as a helicopter mechanic, and I was mechanically inclined. That was something that I'd been since a child. I mean, just always messing with things and fixing bikes or whatever. But after I got out of the Marine Corps, it's a long story, but I ended up going to work for the national headquarters for the Episcopal Church in Manhattan after my dad had suddenly died, and dad had worked there for 10 years. Anyhow, to make a long story short, I was working resettling refugees here in the United States from countries all over the world, but I quickly found out that I was not cut out to sit behind a desk, and I was not very happy. And one day, there was a light bulb out above the secretary's desk, and I was like, well, I can fix that. So I jumped up on the desk and was starting to pull the bulb out of the light, and a manager saw me, asked me what I was doing. I explained to her that I was replacing a burnout light bulb. She said, get down off the desk and call maintenance. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I can change a light. And she told me, she told me again, David, get down off the desk and call maintenance. And I just looked at her and I was like, fine. And I think I probably rolled my eyes at that point, which I'm good at in situations like that, that tend to get me in trouble. But so I called maintenance, and later on that day, the manager pulled me aside and she said, you're not happy here, are you? And I was like, the work is meaningful, but I'm not cut out for this. And she said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, I was a helicopter mechanic in the Marine Corps. I was good at that. And she said, I know a plumber. Would you be interested in speaking to him? So that's how it all started. She introduced me to this plumber who owned a small plumbing company in Pelham, New York. So I started there as a helper and continued on in the trade after I moved to Indianapolis in 1992. But I got my start by changing a light bulb on a desk in Midtown Manhattan, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's a great story. And hats off to your manager there. That was really a nice thing to do. It's thoughtful. And most people don't have that level of thoughtfulness.
Yeah, she was. She knew my father and they were friends. And so I consider her a family friend. But if you will, I guess that's how I got my calling to become a plumber, was changing a light bulb or trying to change a light bulb. And, you know, and it's just something I've been passionate about. And I'll be the first to admit that I don't know it all as far as plumbing is concerned, but I try every day to learn and to get better at what I'm doing. And, you know, I mean, 35 years later, I'm not turning wrenches anymore, at least not every day, but I'm still involved in the industry and I'm still passionate about it. And I love to help where I can.
So you moved to Indianapolis, and at some point you started Hefner Plumbing. When did that start?
It started in 2001. I'd been working with a plumbing company and told the owner, I was like, listen, I really want to start my own company. And he was very supportive and actually signed the paperwork for me to take my contractor's test. And, you know, I passed the test and then I got started working out of a 2000 Chevy Silverado. I was working out of my pickup truck. And eventually I got a cap for it but it was working, doing primarily residential service work. I was doing some remodeling, but not much. But that's how it all started.
You told me you did not want to build a company with employees and things like that. You just wanted to run your own business and support yourself and your family. What were you thinking about? Why is that?
I think it was 2003. I was working with a business coach, and you know, basically he was trying to get me off the fence. It's like, you either stay small or you grow. And the way he put it to me just made me mad. And I was like, fine. In my mind, I'm thinking, I'll show you. So I went out, hired a plumber, and leased this huge box truck that I couldn't afford, got him set up with a laptop and a portable printer. And back then, that was unheard of in the industry.
Innovative. Yeah.
Yeah. For a small shop. I mean, but I had QuickBooks that would download every night from the laptop to my computer at home. But I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do this, or at least I tried. And so that was 2003, hired this guy. The mistake I made was that he was a friend that I had worked with in another company. And the problem with hiring friends or family is that sometimes you're afraid to make decisions that need to be made because you value the relationship more than you do the business sometimes. And so this went on for a year and a half. Shortly after that, I hired another guy for sewers and drains, you know, got him a van again with money that I was doing stuff I couldn't afford. And I was just stretched to the limit financially. And 3 months after hiring the sewer and drain guy, I had to let him go because I just didn't have enough work to support him and he wasn't licensed. And a year and a half after hiring the licensed plumber, about a week's time, I got three phone calls from customers complaining about this guy. And, you know, one of them was he put in an RO system underneath the kitchen sink and flooded the house. So I had to go back there and make it right for the water damage. And I mean, fortunately, I had insurance, but still, you know, there's deductibles and it just was. And I finally confronted him and I said, listen, you've had three callbacks in the past couple of weeks. Is everything okay at home? And he said, everything's fine. I said, are you okay? He said, I'm fine. And I was like, if you can't tell me what's wrong, because something is wrong, I can't help you. And he said, well, I don't know what to tell you. And I said, well, here's the deal. You're going to bring your truck back to me with all the tools and the equipment, and you're done. You, your stepson, who was working for me as a helper, you're done. And at that point, I cleaned house, got rid of everybody. And my wife and I took out a second mortgage to pay off that truck I had bought him. And we were upside down on the lease, but sold it at auction. And my wife was gracious enough to say, we can take out a second mortgage, because if we hadn't done that, I would have had to have declared bankruptcy. So my wife more than once saved me, you know, over the 20 years I was in business. But after that, I was like, I'm done. I'm not cut out to manage employees for a plumbing company when it's my name on the side of the truck. And after that, I just went back to working by myself and I was happy. I didn't have to work 100 hours a week to get guys 40 hours. And I wasn't cut out for it, David. I made a lot of mistakes along the way, but I was much happier once I went back to working by myself. You know, and eventually I was approached by a company that wanted to merge. They saw what I was doing and how I was doing it. They wanted to merge with me. And I almost did that. And then at the last minute, I kind of backed out because they wanted me to start a whole plumbing division. It was a well drilling company and they were looking to start a plumbing division, which meant that I was going to be doing all the hiring and doing all the stuff that I didn't want to do anymore as far as managing people. And so I backed out of that, talked to a friend, a former employer, about the whole situation. And he was actually, he had been bought out by Williams Comfort Air and Mr. Plumber here in Indianapolis. But he told me, you know, in that conversation, Williams Comfort Air isn't looking for one-man shops. And I was like, well, that's not why I wanted to talk to you. I just wanted to try and get some advice about buyouts and mergers. And the following day, I get a text message from this friend saying that the president of Williams Comfort Air wants to speak to me. And I was like, okay. So I called him and he said, I hear good things about you. I understand you're a one-man shop, and no, normally we don't do this, but I've done some research. I like what I'm hearing. I like what I'm seeing. Let's talk. And one thing led to another, and I merged with Williams Comfort Air and Mr. Plummer in 2020. And I told them, you know, when we were negotiating a contract, I was like, I don't want to be in management. I don't want to be a supervisor. I just want to work out in the field. And so that's what I did. What I quickly found out was that being one of the more experienced guys on staff, they started sending me on trouble jobs that nobody else could take care of. And it didn't matter what it was. I guess that the feeling was, you know, if there's a problem, send Hefner. He'll take care of it. He'll make it right with the customer and he'll fix the problem. And that's how it was. So even though I didn't want that kind of a role, that's what I ended up doing. Not all the time, but enough to make me scratch my head and wonder, did I do the right thing here? But I didn't have an exit strategy for Hefner Plumbing. And I've kidded with people, you know, over the years when they've asked me, it's like, what's your exit strategy? And I've told people, I was like, well, someday somebody will find me dead in a crawl space and I'll be done. And my wife heard me say that one time. She said, that's not funny. You know, I'm kidding. But I didn't have an exit strategy, David. And then when this opportunity came along from Williams Comfort Air, it just basically got dumped in my lap. And I was like, here you go. And my wife and I talked about it and we prayed about it. And I don't want to go to work for a big company, but what other choice do I have? And I'll be honest, I didn't like working for a big company. I mean, at the time, Williams Comfort Air was over 500 employees in 4 different locations. That's just not what I don't like it. That's just not me. But I made it work and I had a lot of help and support from the staff and management at Williams Comfort Air to try and get me through that transition. And I did everything I possibly could to make it a win-win situation. And, you know, in 2022, I had signed a 2-year contract. And when my contract was up, I told my boss, like, listen, I'm done. I thought I was going to be able to stick it out to 65, but I can't do this. And they're like, not a problem. We understand. And so my last day, I just wanted to turn in my van and my uniforms and just head on out. And it didn't quite happen that way. The director of the company said, I want to take you and your wife out for dinner just to say thank you and, you know, for everything that you've done. And I was like, that's fine. You don't have to do this. And he said, no, I want to. So my wife and I show up at this restaurant. There are about 15 people standing there in the lobby. So there was managers and supervisors and their wives. And I was like, oh, good Lord. I mean, and so there were all these people that, you know, it was kind of a retirement party. So a nice dinner with all these folks and then a couple of nice retirement gifts and something I never would have asked for. I just wanted to ride off into the sunset, David, and just call it good. But they did that for me something I'll never forget. So as much as I didn't like working for a big company, there are people there that I truly enjoyed working with. And I still see it PHCC meetings on a monthly basis. And so we've continued those friendships even now that I'm gone. And the neat thing is that as an instructor, I teach at a local plumbing apprenticeship school. A lot of my students are coming from Williams Comfort Air and Mr. Plummer. It's almost like I've come full circle. Now I get to teach their first year apprentices. So that to me is very gratifying.
Well, I think it speaks to the kind of person that you are. You didn't like working there, but you did an excellent job and you have always been very service oriented. So you helped a lot of people and they thought very highly of you. That doesn't surprise me at all. I wanted to go back to Hefner Plumbing for just a second because I think it's an interesting thing. We're always telling people, grow your business. You got to hire people, build this thing, exit strategy. We do all that. But you know, you were a one-man company and you were very successful. You had an excellent reputation in Indianapolis and you were really well-respected. Customers loved you and you made a good living for yourself and your family, right?
Yeah, I did. You know, you'll be talking to somebody over the years and they find out, it's like, oh, you own your own plumbing companies. Like, how many homes do you own? And I'm like, one. On the west side of Indianapolis. And it's like, you know, we're not rich financially. We did fine. We did okay. The neat thing about working for myself was that I could go to the soccer games. I could go to the tennis matches. I could structure my schedule around my family.
You had a great quality of life.
Yeah. So, yeah, there were sacrifices. I mean, on family vacations, my phone was always with me, which used to drive my wife nuts. And she said, can't you just stop? And I'm like, no, I really can't. Well, can you limit it to just certain times of the day. And I was like, unless it's an emergency, that's fine. So I learned that on family vacations, I would get up early before everybody else and check emails and text messages and take care of business that way. And we did okay. But again, having a wife that's as understanding and supportive as mine was and continues to be makes a huge difference. I'm sure there are a lot of women out there that wouldn't put up with a lot of what I put our family through, but it was all to try and do the right thing to help my customers. And the goal with my business was to create relationships. And it wasn't just show up, try and get as much money from them as you can in that service call. And if they call you back again, great. If not, you move on. That's not what I was about. I was about developing relationships. And I had customers that were with me for the 20 years and have followed me to win supply. So a lot of these customers have become friends over the years. And that means a lot to me. But it was my whole thing was, yes, we're all in business to make money. But for me, it was about creating long-term relationships where, you know, I had a customer wait 3 days for me to replace a water heater. And I said, I can give you the phone number of a company that can take care of this today. And they're like, no, we can go to the gym and take showers there. We want you to replace this water heater. We know you. We trust you. We value your judgment. We'll wait. They waited 3 days for me to replace a water heater. And wow. I was like, yeah. And I would never ask anybody, but that's what happened. I cared about these people. I cared about these customers and they could tell that. And I think that's part of why I was as successful as I was. To me, it was more than just the money.
Spoken, you know, like a guy whose dad is a Episcopal priest.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, he was an Episcopal priest and he didn't have a lot of money throughout his career. I mean, he worked hard and we were blessed in a lot of ways, but we never had a lot of money to do a lot of the fancy vacations and stuff like that. It was sort of leadership by example, where being a parish priest for a small church on Mount Kisco, New York, where we grew up, he showed us, my brothers and sister and my mom, the importance of taking care of people, the importance of relationships. So I give my mom and dad a lot of credit for the person I am today.
So after you retired, and I should put air quotes around that, you didn't really retire. You ended up going and working for Wind Supply. So talk to me about that. How did that come about?
So I left Williams Comfort Air. It was 2022. And our youngest daughter had a baby. She was in her senior year at Purdue. And when she told us, I was like, are you going to finish school? And she said, yes. And I said, well, good. Your mother and I are going to help you make that happen. And so our granddaughter's name is Lily. Lily was born on April 3rd. I had 3 weeks vacation on the books. And my manager was like, take the time off. Be with your family. And yeah. So I took the 3 weeks off right after Lily was born. And Sarah, I mean, from her hospital bed, was talking to professors about projects that she needed to get done so she could graduate. And I can remember one conversation at the end. She's like, well, I'm actually still in the hospital. And the professor's like, what? She said, well, I just had a baby. And the professor's like, do me a favor, get off the phone. Call me when you get home. We can talk then.
And sounds like the work ethic was passed on from generation to generation there.
Yeah. And Sarah, we're proud of both of our daughters. They're both hard workers. They're both very smart, but Sarah was bound and determined. And so we got home from the hospital and I took care of Lily while Sarah was getting her homework, all her schoolwork done, projects, final exams. And so other than feeding Lily and changing diapers, I was the guy. And so I took care of Lily during that 3 weeks. That's all I did. And then I had to go back to work that last week of April. And then the following week, I retired from Williams Comfort Air. So went back to work for a week. And my wife and Sarah were like, so when are you retiring? They literally missed me taking care of Lily. And I said, soon. So after I retired, I became a full-time babysitter. So Sarah was able to graduate from Purdue. And unfortunately, she took a job with a company in Vancouver, Washington, of all places. Beautiful, beautiful area, but a long way from home. And I tried to argue that, I mean, we didn't have family out there. We didn't have friends in Vancouver, but Sarah was bound and determined to get to the West Coast. And she saw this as the opportunity. And I was like, you're crazy. I wouldn't recommend this, but if this is what you want to do, so be it. So we packed her up. A friend of mine and I drove a U-Haul, got her stuff out to Vancouver, got everything unloaded. My wife and daughter and Lily flew out a couple days later, got them all set up. And then my wife's like, you need to go home. And I was like, okay. So I came home and to two cats and in an empty house. And I lasted a week, and I called my friend that owns One Supply of Indianapolis. And I was like, remember that conversation we had a few months ago about me possibly coming to work here? And he said, yeah. I said, I'm ready. Can I start on Monday? And he was like, well, and he said, well, come on down. I think you could hear the desperation in my voice. Because I, David, I just... with everybody gone, all of a sudden I wasn't working. And so I didn't have a sense of purpose and I needed something. Give me a reason to wake up in the morning. So I met with the owner of One Supply of Indianapolis and he said, we need help in the showroom. Showroom is struggling. And it's like, that wouldn't have been my first choice, but I was like, I'll help you wherever you need help. So I went to work in the showroom. It was a mess. We had a young guy that was managing it that wasn't doing a very good job. So in true Marine Corps fashion, whipped the showroom into shape. Got rid of that manager, hired a new manager, didn't have a website, didn't have a Facebook page, got all those things taken care of, got the showroom squared away, and they're on track to really start to make things happen. The new showroom manager is she's a go-getter. 17 years of experience. She's taken over the showroom, and I've moved up to the front of the store where I'm now kind of devoting more time to the community outreach role.
Talk to me about that. What do you do as community outreach?
Rich Jenkins and I, Rich Jenkins is the owner, both of us feel very strongly about giving back to others, giving back to the community. We feel an obligation to help others that can't, for whatever reason, help themselves. And so Rich is a Baptist minister. So when he's not working all the hours that he's working at One Supply, he has a small church on the south side of Indianapolis where he's the pastor. So we're both like-minded in that we need to help others. When I came on board, there were things in place, but he's trying to do everything and he's not really good about delegating. So when it became obvious that, you know, where my strengths were, he's like, okay, well, this is what I want to do. And so I was like, okay, well, we'll make this happen. So that was 2022. I came to work here in August of that year of 2022, and we started with a Veteran Appreciation Day. So we hosted a lunch, a catered lunch, where we invited any of our staff that were veterans and then veterans from the local community or contractors to come in. So we hosted a Veterans Appreciation Day, certificates of appreciation, a small gift, and just our way of saying thank you to those that have served our country. And then for 20 years, One Supply has been doing a Christmas lunch where it's open to anybody in the community. And so I'm helping Rich to build on that. And now, more recently, we're working with a homeless veterans organization here in Indianapolis to provide them with money and food. We're doing two food drives a year, plus making financial donations to the organization. And Wayne Township is the township that we're located in here in Indianapolis. And last year, we donated two huge crates of toys for underprivileged children in the Wayne Township School District. And we're going to be doing a golf outing actually in 2 weeks on the 16th of September. And all the money that we raise in that golf outing is going to go to Wayne Township to help them to buy toys and to buy clothing for underprivileged children. So for us, it's very much about giving back to the community.
That is really fantastic. One Supply has been a longtime vendor partner of Service Nation. So I have to do a little plug here. That means that Service Nation members get a rebate when they purchase from One Supply. And I should also point out, One Supply has excellent ratings from Service Nation members. And the comments are incredible. Most of the time, people just put a rating of the vendor up there. They don't put any comments. But there's a ton of comments about Win Supply on the Service Nation website. They love their reps. They're grateful that Win Supply always has stock when they need it. Win Supply has good prices. It goes on and on. You were a customer, actually, of Win Supply before you became a team member. What else can you tell us about Win Supply?
The emphasis is on customer service. It's taking care of the customer no matter what. And as a contractor, I've had the son-in-law, who's not an employee, but happened to be at the counter on a particular day, bring me a part for a job. I called in. I was in the middle of something and I was short one thing, one fitting. And I called and I talked to Rich Jenkins and he said, I'll take care of it. And then the next thing I know, his son-in-law shows up at the job with the part. And I was like, what are you doing here? I was like, and it's like, I was at the counter. Rich told me to bring this to you. And I was like, what? I felt guilty. But I, you know, when I saw Rich the next time, I was like, thank you for doing that. You didn't. He's like, no, you're an important customer to us. We want to take care of you. That's the level of commitment that we have to our customers. I mean, when you're sending out your son-in-law, who's not an employee that happened to be standing there at the right moment, bringing parts, that says something. And that's how they've always treated me. Just a very family-friendly environment. It's kind of like, you know, Cheers isn't a good analogy, but when you walk in, you know, hey, how's it going? I mean, when Norm would walk in to the bar at Cheers, well, kind of the same thing. Again, it's not a great analogy, but that's the feeling you get. You're welcome into the store. A lot of these people have become friends over the years. And and so it's really a commitment to the customer service. And corporate, we're independently owned. We're kind of like a franchise, kind of. But and corporate has guidelines, and their guideline for inventory is X amount of dollars. Well, Rich is like, no, we're not doing that. We're going to have this much in inventory, which far exceeds what corporate recommends. But he said, this is important. We need to have everything that our customers want. And so we're almost like a distribution center for Other One Supplies across the country, not just in Indiana, but across the country. It really is amazing. And I mean, last year, kind of to toot our own horn, we were the number two store in sales overall. And that's 650 stores across the country. And so that level of commitment to customer service, it comes back to you in different ways. Well, for us, the sales numbers are, I guess they speak for themselves, but, and that's not Rich's, I mean, yes, he's competitive, but that's not the reason why he does what he does. It's about taking care of the customers.
That's a great ethic. Good for you guys. So I want to turn to some personal stuff. You've been sharing family stories and all that. I really appreciate it. I follow you on Facebook and on LinkedIn, and I realize you're a really serious cyclist. You've done some big rides. Tell me about some of your favorite rides.
Yeah, I've been a cyclist now for about 5 years. I was a runner before that. And after my second knee surgery, my wife was like, can we do something other than running? And so so I was like, okay, I've been doing marathons and triathlons and stuff. So I said, okay, I stopped running and I started cycling. And I took it up with a passion. And I love getting out on my bike. And we're very fortunate to live where we are and have access to country roads out in Hendricks County, which is, you know, right next door to Marion County where we live. Truly God's country. And so I get out and ride as much as I possibly can. And two of my favorite rides, my most challenging rides, were in 2021 when I was still working for Williams Comfort Air. I did a ride, it's called Rag Ride, and it's the world's largest bike ride. And people come from all over the world to ride in this event. And I think the year I rode, it was still kind of tail end of COVID, but I think we had 15,000 people show up for Rag Ride that year. And it's literally a sea of cyclists. And it was a 6-day ride, 480 miles from the western border of Iowa, across the state to the eastern border of Iowa. And this is the last week of July. So the hottest part of the year, I'm camping in a one-man tent. So it was definitely a challenge, but I've met some of the nicest people. You know, there's a term I learned while I was out there called Iowa Nice. I experienced that multiple times, you know, during that ride. So I'm glad I did it. I don't know that I would do it again, at least not camping. If I could do it with, if I could stay in a hotel room at night or in a camper or whatever, but it was a great experience. You saw all kinds of people. I saw a guy doing this on a unicycle. I saw a woman. Wow. Yeah. I saw a woman that was rollerblading this 480 miles. And I just, you see all kinds of stuff. It's kind of like, I've heard people call this Woodstock on wheels. And you make of it what you can, but it's a very family friendly event. It's not quite as bad as Woodstock. That was a great experience. Glad that I did that. And then last year I did what's called the Rain Ride here in Indiana. You know, Rain is, you know, the acronym is RAIN, Ride Across Indiana. And that's 160 miles going from Terre Haute to Richmond in one day. You know, you can start at 7 o'clock in the morning. You have to be done by 9 o'clock that night. Yeah. And so I trained for several months for this ride, rode with a group, a large group. And then over the course of the day, we went from 20 plus plus people down to four. But I finished with four people from the group. One was my cycling coach, but got it done in 13 hours. So again, tough ride. And we literally started at 6 o'clock in the morning. And as soon as we shoved off, the skies opened up and it rained the first 4 hours. You know what? People are like shaking their heads. It's like, man. And I was like, I'm not quit. I've worked too hard to get to this point. I don't care how hard it rains. I'm going to finish. And I did. And there were other people that bailed out, but I was like, nope, I'm going to finish this. And so I did it. And I was going to try and do it again this year. But between work and other things, I just wasn't able to put in enough training time to do the ring ride again this year. But to this point, Rag, Brian, Rain are two of my most favorite rides that I've done.
I've seen some posts that makes me think you're still involved with the Marine Corps. Is that right?
Well, I was on active duty for 4 years. And so technically, I'm a veteran. I just did my 4 years, but the fire burns bright within me as far as the Marine Corps is concerned. And so I have a set of dress blues, and it's not my original set. So this is dress blues 2.0. So this is my second set of dress blues that I wear for the Marine Corps birthday, occasionally for Veterans Day, and for special events, I'll wear my dress blues. And as veterans, as long as we comply to the Marine Corps uniform guidelines, we can wear our dress blues. We can wear our uniforms. So, I mean, thank you for asking. I did my 4 years, so technically I'm a Marine Corps veteran, but very proud of that.
And very supportive of the Marine Corps still to this day, so good for you.
Thank you.
Well, David, this has been fantastic. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us. You've been such a great contributor to our industry in so many ways, not just as a great plumber, but as an educator for other plumbers. You set a high standard for people, for customer service, and now with Wind Supply doing the community outreach, your support for the Marine Corps. And I forgot to mention this, I am in the Rotary, and I noticed that you signed your email with Service Above Self, which is a Rotary motto. So I think that's a great moniker for you. You really are a person that provides service to other people. So thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for sharing your story here at Service Nation.
Thank you, David. I'm honored to do this with you. I'd never in a million years would have dreamed that I would get an email from you asking me to be on your podcast. It means a lot to me, and I want you to know that. And what you have done for the industry over the years, you've helped a lot of people along the way as well. So kudos to you and for all that you've done and are continuing to do in your work. So thank you.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Well, thank you very much. And I look forward to talking to you again in the future sometime.
Hi, this is David again. 3 quick notes. 1, if we provided any value today, would you please give us a good rating on whatever app you're listening on? It would help us a lot and help get our message to more people. 2, would you recommend us to a friend or colleague? Just as in your own business, personal recommendations are powerful. 3, we're always looking for great interviewees and topics. If you have an idea for us, if you know someone who should be interviewed, or if you would like to be interviewed, don't be modest. Just shoot an email to pip@newmediaempire.com. That's PIP, like Profiles in Prosperity, @newmediaempire.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.